Hello again, listeners. This is Jamie O's Podspace. Thank you guys so much again for tuning in. I know it's been a week and a half or so, and I've been just been busy, but I'm just so thankful and so grateful that I get to come back on here and continue my series on flesh versus spirit. But it's going to be a little bit more detailed, because we're going to be talking about a story in the Bible that is really going to help, me to really break down how corrupt our spirit really is. I mean, our flesh really is. So let's just have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this message that you have put on my heart. Father God, I pray that more people would hear this message, Lord, and even if they're not in the faith, that they would be inspired to choose you, Father God, to choose the right way instead of the wrong way, Father. I thank you for your holy truth. I thank you that you are the God and head of the universe and that you are leading us the way that you choose, Father God. I pray for the many people that are out there lost, Father God, that they would also have someone to spread the gospel message to them as well, Father God, so that they will be saved once and for all, Lord. I thank you so much once again for this message that you put on my heart to share. I pray, Lord, that that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide me as I speak instead of myself, but that you will speak more powerfully, Father God. In Jesus' name, I pray all of these things. Amen. All right, here. So I was going to choose the story of Cain and Abel, because that's a wonderful story based on the flesh. But we're going to just jump right into Genesis chapter 37. And this is the story of Jacob, or Israel, as we would call it, the story of Joseph, and how he was chosen by God to, you know, lead over his family and, you know, over his brothers and things like that. So let's start in chapter 37, verse 1. I think that would be okay too. It says, now Jacob lived in the land where his father was, and father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah. These were Bilhah and Zilpah were Jacob's servants, were Rebekah servants, and then these are the ones he laid up with, because Rebekah can have a child. So his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Verse 5, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, building sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. And he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are you not your brothers? Are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, Here I am. Then he said to him, Please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What are you seeking? So he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, They have departed from here, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, his brothers conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, Some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben, his youngest brother, heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said to him, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hold on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. So Reuben had good intentions. He didn't want them to kill his brother. He wanted to try to help Joseph to escape out of their hands. Okay, so we go on to verse 23. It says, So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it, and they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. So his brothers sold Joseph for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites so he can be a slave for them. And it says, and then they took Joseph to Egypt. Then, verse 29, then Reuben returned to the pit, and indeed Joseph was not in the pit, and he tore his clothes. So by this time, Reuben had, told Joseph, to try to help Joseph to escape. But I guess Reuben, he was afar off or whatever. He didn't see it, but he thought that, okay, well, my brother is still in the pit. So he comes back and he sees that Joseph has gone, and he tore his clothes, which means that he was mourning and he was sad or whatever. So verse 30 says, and he returned to his brothers and said, The lad is no more, and where shall I go? So they took Joseph's tunic, killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the tunic in the blood. Then they sent the tunic of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, We have found this. Do you know where it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, It is my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth on his waist and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Egypt and captain of the guard. Okay, so it's a really great story. I'm going to summarize the story because I'm trying to get to a point. So now we're going to go to Romans I'm going to go to Romans. And we were in here and we were in the first series, but this one we're going to go to. Just a second, Romans. Okay, yeah, no, we're actually going to go back to Romans 8 because chapter 8 of Romans is such a wonderful chapter that talks about the differences between the flesh versus spirit. Okay, so we're going to go to verse 5. Okay. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. So what was going on here? We see that Joseph, he has a gift. We see that Joseph, he has a gift, being able to interpret dreams, and he and his 10 brothers, you know, they were jealous. Of course, they see that Israel really loved him because he was the last son in his old age. But you know that, and then it's the fact that the dreams about Joseph, you know, basically ruling over his brothers, and you know they hated him even more for that. So their jealousy, their flesh, took over them so much that even regardless of them being flesh and blood, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to take him out because they see these gifts that he had. So jealousy is a very, very dangerous thing to have, because it just consumes you. You know, it consumes over your body, consumes over your thoughts, and it just, you just don't think clearly. And that's what God is saying, that we are being led by the flesh, then that is death. But we are being led by the spirit, that then that's life. You know, but how, you ask, how do you stay in the spirit if you're walking according to the flesh? You see Joseph, you see Joseph, he's being led into a pit. His brothers, they said, you know, it'd be no good to kill him, but they, in their greed, they said, okay, we might as well just sell him to slavery. So they gave the Ishmaelites 20 shekels of silver just to sell him into slavery, so they won't have to see him anymore. And that was the whole point, to take him out so that he would not be there anymore. And they succeeded. Later on in the story, we see that, you know, God ultimately had a plan for him, that he helped, that Joseph revealed dreams to Pharaoh and Potiphar, and they basically just exalted him up because his dreams were so accurate. And he ended up helping lead his people, his brothers, which, yeah, because the land that they were living in Canaan was poor and there was no food and everything. So his brothers had to come back to him. They didn't know it at first. They didn't recognize Joseph at first, but they ended up giving food and water. Joseph ended up getting food and water to them to take back to their family and to the people of their land. And then eventually Joseph, you know, he reveals himself to his brothers, and I want to touch on that. I'm going to touch on that last, because I mean, his response to, after he revealed himself to his brothers, was just an example of what it was like to walk in the spirit. You know, if we are being led by the spirit of God, then you know, that is life and peace and joy. Okay, let's go to Galatians. Galatians, I think everybody's familiar with Galatians. This is going to be a little lengthy. I didn't think, but I'm getting to a point though, because I've been struggling with this lately myself, and I just I think that's part of the reason why I haven't been wanting to do the second part of the flesh versus spirit, because I've been struggling with this in my life lately. And you know, God is just, he's saying that once we're with him, like regardless of the things that, whether of our bad habits, whether of our sinful thoughts, sinful things like that, we are forever his, and he is helping us to be more like him. And I've been guilty of that later. I've been letting my thoughts and these irrational doubts think that I'm being taken away from God, and that God is disappointed, don't want to hear me. But in fact, God said that I am in you, working in you. I'm doing a new work in you, just like we talked about a few weeks ago. God saying that I'm doing a new work in you. I'm helping you. So regardless of how many times you fall, I will always be there to help pick you back up, because there is no guilt, there's no shame, there is no sadness or fear, or, and that's all the spirit of perdition. But you have been renewed, you have been saved, you have been transformed. The spirit of life in you, which is love, joy, peace, all of those good things, not the opposite. So I was thinking that lately, like, you know, I want to be true to myself. I want to be true to my walk with God. I can't do this. Like, Lord, I can't do this episode if I'm not really walking in, if I don't really feel, I mean, you know and feel that, you know, that I've been disappointing you. And then God is like, well, that's good though, because you are being transparent. You're sharing your story. You're letting them know that regardless of how many times you fall off in life, that God picks us right back up, because he leads us. We breathe the air that he breathe. He gives us, and he breathes into our body. It's because of him, us being able to have a brain to think and to go different. He gives us all of that. Just like he's directing Joseph into unknown land, and Joseph was a prisoner there, and but God had a plan. God had a plan for him. He was faithful to God. God had a plan for him. He was the least among the despised, and God exalted him up, and he ended up being the leader of you know, the people. And that's just how God works. It's not anything that we are doing in our life, but God is doing that work in us through Jesus Christ. And something just clicked earlier when I was doing this, and I said, you know what? You're right, Lord. You're absolutely right. I am freed. Regardless of how much I fall, Jesus is still helping me each and every day. Okay, so let's go to Galatians 5:20. 5. It's a short scripture. I'm going to try to not make this one so okay, so we're going to go to Galatians 5:22, starting at 22. But the fruit of the spirit, like I just said, is love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have been crucified, are and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Okay, now let's go to John 16. Okay, that's just like what I just said, though. You know, God is, the Spirit is living inside of us. Okay, I also want to make a correction too. In the last message, I said the condemnation, or condemn, means death. Really, it means strong disapproval, and that's what it really means. But you know, it could still be considered death, because if the world is, you know, disapproving us of certain things that we're not supposed to be doing or whatever, only God can truly condemn us. That's why he said in Romans 8:38, he said, there is now, Romans 8:1, I mean, he says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he's saying that there is no strong disapproval from God for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. So for me, it was like, you know, I needed to be confident in my walk with Jesus, because in knowing that he's helping us to be more like him. We are set free. Whether we feel like it or not, we are set free. In John 8:36, it says, if the Son set you free, you will be indeed free. So when Satan, he tries to plant these like small seeds of doubt in our mind, which means that it's just double minded, like you believe in God, but then you're doubting him, you know, and he said in his word that choose a side, choose whether, you know, choose the life or death, choose whether if you want to believe in me, the God of the Euphrates. He said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, you know. So it's a terrible place to have to be double minded and go back and forth. You know, but God tells us that, you know, even though Satan tries to plant those small little seeds in our mind, that once we stay in communication with his word, once we stay filled up in his word, he is going to cast out all of those doubts, all of those things that try to come up against us in our mind to try to weaken our faith. You know, God wants us to have strong faith, not weak faith. And God is saying that regardless of how many times you fall or the bad habits that you have, you are set free regardless. And I meant that eternally. You know, he said, because whenever you step to the throne of grace and you ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed is going to cover over you for that. And I'm going to help work in you, cleanse you every single day so that you can be more and more like me. And I was feeling guilty, brothers and sisters. I was like, oh, I keep doing this sin, Lord, and I don't know why. And I'm like, I'm not gonna do this series right now, because I mean this episode right now, because I don't feel like, you know. And that's another problem, like I was going by how I feel, and I should have been going by what I know. But I'm saying, like, I don't feel and I don't think like, you know, this is good. And I don't want to preach about something or talk about something I know that I haven't overcome. And Jesus reminded me today. He said, you have been overcome by the blood of Jesus. You have become mine now. That means that your will is over to me and that I'm doing the work in you to change. But that has nothing to do with your salvation. That has nothing to do with that had nothing to do with how many times you fall, because I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to help you overcome those things, you know? Okay. And, yeah, so God the Spirit has set us free forever. So let's go to John 16. 33. Yep, John 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have suffering or tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now let's go to 1 John 4:4 and 5:4. I have overcome the world. He did it for us. So we have the victory through Jesus Christ. He's the one that's helping us to be more like him. It's not us. So once again, we're going to go to 1 John 4:4 and 5:4. Okay, 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you, which is the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world, which is this, you know, Satan. Okay, let's go to 5:4 now. Okay, actually, let's start. Yeah, let's go to 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 5. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Verse 6. This is he who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So the Spirit is doing the transformation in our hearts that's helping us. When we read God's word, when we stay in communication and pray with God, he is helping cleanse us from those bad habits. But it doesn't mean that he's, you know, saying, oh, no, you're not saved anymore. Oh, God hates you for this sin. God isn't happy. Well, he's not happy with our sin, but he doesn't love us any less, because he understands that we are just flesh. But when God says that he set us free, brothers and sisters, when God says that he set us free from bondage and slavery, when God said he set us free from our addictions, when God said he set us free from our evil thoughts, for our sinful behaviors, our sinful habits, he means that eternally you have been delivered from this. No matter what you do, you have been freed by the bondage of law, by the bondage of sin and death. You have been freed by that, and you have been turned over to the law of the Spirit of life forever. Okay, so let's go to I'm going to touch on one more scripture, and then we're going to go back to Joseph. In Hebrews, this goes back to what I was just saying about, like, when we do sin, which is Hebrews 4. I'm going to start at chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest, which is Jesus Christ, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So I just wanted to add this little piece on there, because I said it earlier. So what does it mean when God says the throne of grace? That means that when we come prepared with a ready heart, a surrendered heart, a repentant heart, and we ask God and we pray on our knees to God to help us with our sins, to ask for forgiveness of our sins first, but to help us to turn away from it, then he forgives us instantly. And he said, I will not remember your sin no more. Just like I said, you freed forever. I don't remember your sins anymore. I don't recall any of that, because you are mine and I'm helping you. I want you to choose spirit over your flesh. I'm not giving an excuse saying that we should sin, because the Lord says in the word that to him that knows not to sin and sins anyway, then to him it is sin. So if you know that something that you're doing wrong, and you know that you're not supposed to do it, he said to him, it is sin. But he's saying that if we fall off and we sin, whether we do it intentionally or whether we do it accidentally, we have an advocate with the Father who intercedes for us. Once we do come to the throne of grace and pray, he will forgive us of that. Okay, so let's go back to let's go back to the story of Joseph. And this is a wonderful story too, but I just really wanted to talk about on that point, just so I can get my point across with our flesh. And brothers and sisters, this is helping me too. This is helping me to, you know, be reminded of just how good God is, how he doesn't put any of that on us, you know, when we come to him and everything. So Okay, so Genesis,
here we are.
Okay, so let's go to 45, Genesis 45, verse 1. Let's start there. Then Joseph, no, I'm sorry, wait a minute. Yeah, let's start at 45. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And this is when he actually was telling his getting ready to tell his brother he couldn't hold it in anymore because he loved his brothers, you know. Okay, verse 2, it says he wept aloud and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him for they were dismayed in his presence. Dismayed means they were terrified. Verse 4, it says, and Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." Verse 5, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting, and God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. So posterity means of future generations. Okay, so reason why, just really, really quick, I wanted to touch on this is because if you put yourself in Joseph's position, like he had all of this power, you know, he had all of this, these people that were up under him and he was giving them everything. He could have held that resentment in these years for his brothers, and he could have made them work for him. He could have, you know, just, he could have yielded to his flesh, but he saw God. How God was working behind the scenes, how God was helping him, how God had a plan all along to help him to save the land, to preserve it, as he said, to plow and to harvest. He knew these things were happening. He knew the power of God. He didn't yield to his flesh. He yielded to his spirit. And when he yielded to his spirit, he saw God plain in the open and how God was working. Brothers and sisters, I just want to let you know that once you choose your spirit over your flesh, then that is life and not death. But sometimes it is hard to overcome our flesh and overcome some of the things that we think and everything. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that it is okay if you do. Because God doesn't put any guilt on you. God is love. He loves on you regardless if you sin or not. I mean, he sent his only son and delivered him so he can die and for our sins while we still were sinners. Not after we became, you know, we came to know God, not after that, but even now, even if you don't have a relationship with God, even if you're in the world, God sent his son to die for you so that when you come to him, that you'll be redeemed and you'll be saved. So take heart, be of good cheer. Know that God loves you. Know that God is not putting that pressure, that guilt, and that shame on you, that Satan is doing that to your minds. But God is saying, "I love you. That I have an advocate for you in case you do fall off, in case you do sin, and I love you." Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for this, for tuning in. I pray that this message reaches your heart and that it was plain and that you understand it. Let's just have a word of prayer. I didn't think it was going to be 34 minutes long, but glory to God, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your Son that you sent to die on the cross for my sins, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for reminding even me as I encourage my brothers and sisters that even though when we do sin, even though when we do fall off, you still have set us free forever. We are still inheriting your future transfiguration into heaven eternally, and that it's not by our own weak frailty, but it's by your grace that you are forgiving us and helping us to be more like you, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the enlightening of the scriptures. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that works in us, Father God. Lord, I pray for the ones that may not have a relationship with you, Lord, that they would, that you would open up their mind and help them to be curious to seek out this wonderful story in this wonderful story in Genesis chapter 41 on how Joseph interpreted so many dreams. It's such a wonderful story, Lord. I pray that they get blessed when they read it, Lord, and that they would just be able to see how graceful and merciful you are to us in our lives, Father God. I give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory on this day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you guys once again. I'm hoping and praying that I'll be able to come back on here next Sunday. I know I missed a couple of Sundays, but you know, glory to God. Just keep looking out for it. It's coming soon. I'm sorry, like I said. I love you guys so much, and you guys have a blessed rest of the week. All right.